It is Matt's birthday on Sunday, so by the time you people get this episode, Matt will have turned a year older, but we are going to celebrate him on the show a little bit today and have some fun with him, and we'll just start by saying happy birthday, Matt.
Thanks.
Congratulations to turning 12.
Happy birthday.
Turning 12.
You've been turning 12 every year, Matt.
Every fucking year, man. He always turns 12. I mean, you know, to be fair, Matt is the biggest man child I know. And that's not making fun of your last name or anything. You just are the biggest man child I know. There's nothing wrong with that. You bring a lot of a lot of spirit to things, you know, and that's okay.
I say it's accurate and on the nose, honestly.
The world needs a little bit of that. I mean, you know, I mean, there's a reason when his wife calls him, she uses his middle name too, because she knows it's her fifth child. So,
you know. Yep. She says that all the time. She's like, I got 5 kids at home.
I don't think you should be proud of that.
But, well, it's true, but that's okay. You keep us old guys like me in good check with the youngness, I guess. So,
there we go.
And you can come around and run around my kids and keep them busy. You still have the energy to do it. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's all right. But, yeah, man, it seems like we were just here not that long ago when doing your – at least you picked a slightly – I wouldn't say necessarily more entertaining movie, but a better film than the last couple of films you've chosen for your birthday movie. And when I say better, I just mean not stupid like the last couple of movies. But we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a movie that you didn't watch when you were 4 years old and thought was the coolest thing in the world.
Exactly.
You know, that's fairly accurate. You know, like, man, I saw this movie. I saw Roadhouse when I was 8 and it was the coolest shit ever. Cause man, there's so many like that,
which is a movie I had to have my friend watch with me as spiritual support. I'm not lying either. I had to have my roommate watch with me.
He picked a more mature movie this year. That's probably a good word.
For real. Yeah. That's
awesome. This is but this is the Rebel Radio podcast. This is Mark.
Should have went with Matt. Ventura, honestly, but this is long.
Ace Ventura.
Or Waterboy.
I would have vetoed that shit. I hated that fuck. I'm going to go on a little tangent. I remember the Waterboy came out. It was like this big fucking deal. Everybody was going to see it. So I was like, I'll go see it. I didn't laugh one fucking time in that movie. It was stupid after stupid after stupid. And I liked Adam Sandler. I had no problem. I thought like Billy Madison was relatively funny and Happy Gilmore, but the Waterboy was just fucking dumb. I still to this day, I don't hate it like I hate Tropic Thunder. Let's not go there. I mean, like the Waterboy, okay, whatever. It is what it is. But I never understood why it was so funny. Like it was the stupidest fucking movie I ever saw. But people thought it was great and it made a fucking lot of money when it came out in theaters.
You don't like smart humor. You don't like stupid humor. I don't know what you like for humor. So, Kevin Smith.
Well,
I like Kevin Smith.
I like Beavis and Butthead. I like I like Robin Williams movies. I think Mrs. Doubtfire is a funny movie. You know.
He likes cross-dressing.
Bitch. And I think the first Hangover movie's funny. So, you know. And I like Major League. I mean, I like some movies. You know, I don't know.
Kind of all over the map, you know. He just likes what he likes, kind of like Apple.
No, Jack. He has comedic autism. That's what he has. Comedic autism.
No. We need another comedy month.
We do not need another comedy month. No. We do not.
See, he's doing the right. Bad comedy. Bad comedy. Bad comedy. No. Like Rain Man.
Well, we.
Oh yeah.
We did comedy month and it was okay. It was
for you, but me and Matt enjoyed the hell out of it.
I would not say it was too well. It was okay. Well, Harold and Kumar was pretty fun. That was probably the only one I really enjoyed out of those.
You didn't like Major League?
No, yeah, I like Major League. But, like, Major League felt like it was cool, but it felt like I'd seen it so much. It was kind of like, you know, it felt like going through the motions doing that movie. But it's not that I didn't enjoy it or anything, because I've just seen it a lot, you know. Three Amigos was okay. And Robin Hood sucked. That's it. Y'all got y'all's comedy month, all right? So be happy. I don't want to hear no more bitching from you motherfuckers.
Oh, you won't be hearing much bitching from me. So, that's for sure.
Anyway. But
anywho.
So you guys doing well, huh? Matt, ready to turn another year old?
Yep. It's happening whether I want it to or not. But, damn straight. You know, that's right, man. Well, yeah, You know, I don't quite get the senior breakfast yet at IHOP, but, you know, I'm getting there.
You know, I figure you get up every day, you still got control of your bowel movements, and your pecker works good, and you can see what you're doing and walk what you're doing. That's a good day.
That's true. Hey, man. Yeah. Some people wake up, they can't see shit, you know?
Yeah.
I get to wake up and, you know, and see stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even getting anyway. On that note, let's get into the show. Download this, where we tell people what we streamed, watched, and checked out this week. And I'll go first, man, because last week I kind of disappeared from the mic for a little bit as I had to do some crowd control with the minions in the house, and so I didn't say much about it. But man, I got around to watching Jurassic World Dominion this week on Peacock, and. Man, I actually kind of rather enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And the more people were really trashing this movie. And I was like, and I'm watching it and I'm like, I guess I could see some of their points in it. But like overall, I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was better than Fallen Kingdom, you know. Absolutely. There is a part in the middle where the girl gets kidnapped. And that was a little bit wonky, I guess is the word. But it did drive the plot. So it just felt a little like strange in a dinosaur movie. Like, oh, you're having this girl get kidnapped. That was a little bit different plot device considering what those movies usually are. But, but I thought it had some good dinosaur action. It was really great to see the original cast come back. A lot of good one-liners and nods to the original films. And, I don't get the hatred for it. It's a popcorn flick. You enjoy it for what you're supposed to enjoy it for. And that's just a good time at the movies. So I really didn't think it was that bad. Now, if I had one beef with it, I really thought that, you know, one of my favorite scenes in all the Jurassic Park movies is the last 5 minutes of Jurassic World where you have the big dinosaur rumble at the park. I thought they were going to top that, and they really didn't. So I was a little disappointed with the final fight. I was like, man, this should have been bigger and better than Jurassic World. But it was kind of on the same level maybe as Jurassic World. I know you saw it, Matt. That's kind of how maybe you felt about the final fight. It wasn't really bigger, but it was about the same, you know? And I was like expecting bigger because it was the final movie, you know? But really not bad. I don't know why people trash it so hard. You know, I found it pretty enjoyable. I did watch the second episode of The Lord of the Rings. I haven't watched the one that came out today yet. And, I'm liking the show, man, so far. It boggles my mind that these hardcore Tolkien fans are trying to bring this show down and complain that it's against lore because it has black elves and all that. I'm like, that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. Are you racist much, Tolkien fans? It's like, who cares? It's like, it doesn't matter. You know, just it's as long as you're telling a good story. And that's what it seems to be so far. I find it intriguing. I think the show, Amazon, but definitely put their money where their mouth is. The show looks amazing. I mean, it's an amazing looking television show. I like it a lot so far. I may stay up tonight and watch episode 3. Probably not because I'm tired, but I'll definitely watch it this weekend. I think that's all I watched this week as far as new stuff was, you know, those two. The kids rewatched Thor Love and Thunder yesterday, and I really backtracked on that movie. I'm not going to get into a hardcore because I have no need to, but I liked it walking out of the theaters, and when I rewatched it with the kids yesterday, I'm like, I like this. It's not very good. I started really picking up on the kind of really badness of the movie. That's all I'll say. It's just, yeah. Marvel needs to fix Phase 4 fast. Hopefully Black Panther corrects the ship here in about a month and a half or so until Black Panther comes out. So we'll see. That's about all I watched this week, though.
I'll go next since it's Matt's birthday. I saw, I too have seen Lord of the Rings, and I do like what I saw, although it felt kind of by the numbers, and the whole fantasy bit.
Fair, yeah. But I think it's setting things up, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And I can kind of see why some Tolkien fans are not happy. And we're not talking about the whole casting thing. I'm talking about, like, the lore thing of the Second Age. It's just one of those things where some of these fans were kind of... They want to see what they've read, like, decades ago, right? And imagine waiting for it to be, you know, shown on screen, but it doesn't happen. So I think that's where part of the bitterness came from, right? So it's like, okay, well, we read this years ago and excited about it and hoping that it would get shown on screen because it's really cool lore, you know, leading up to the Third Age, to the Lord of the Rings time that we all knew. And I think they're disappointed that they won't see that portrayed. So I can kind of see where they're coming from that. But, you know, they're just like, eh, whatever. Ultimately, it's a new Lord of the Rings content. So the majority of them will give it a chance, I'm sure.
I wonder how they know that, though, after two episodes. I mean, this is a 5-year plan. I mean, they could still get the stuff they're hoping to see, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see how it sustains this momentum. Because it's like the biggest ever debut on any streaming platform.
Yeah. I want to say, didn't the servers like crash the first day or the first evening?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's big.
Yeah. But yeah, from what I saw, I enjoyed it. But I am intrigued by it. That's for sure. And then finally, I finally saw Top Gun, so we could finally talk spoilers.
There we go.
And wow, I couldn't tell which was practical, which was CGI. I found out that they used only one plane to shoot all the practical shots, and then they duplicated it through CG.
Ah.
So, yeah. But it's so seamless, you couldn't even tell. As far as like the aerial, you know, cockpit views, all that stuff, that's real. That's definitely real. And I was like watching the film. It's like, wait a minute, Canyon Run, what? Hitting the spot 3 meters wide. Hey, this is just like Star Wars, except it's set in a freaking modern day, right?
You've got Dodge turrets.
Dodge missiles, dodge canyon turns. I mean, there was more to it than just a straight line, like the trench run in the New Hope. But yeah, there's like, wait a minute.
Then after you hit it, you have a Darth plane coming at you with some other
two Darth fighters. Planes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there you go.
You have the one Han Solo character coming into the rescue.
Exactly.
In the form of, what's his name? Hangman? Yeah.
Hangman, baby.
Yeah.
The new man, I guess.
Yeah,
it's definitely come long.
I was trolling y'all, okay? I was just like, oh, it's going to be one of those films that's going to wave the American flag, communism bad type of film. You know, but it wasn't like that. Just seeing Jennifer Connelly.
It's probably the best film I've seen this year.
Oh, Jennifer Connelly's so hot.
She looks good, man. She looks good in the film.
Nah, very good for 53. Yeah. Not bad.
Nah, it's a hell of a movie. I mean, like I said, the first 3 months of the year between that and
a lot better than the first film.
Yeah. Between that, Batman, and Everything Ever All at Once, is three of the best movies I've seen in a long time this year, those three films.
Yeah.
Is it better than Peanut Butter Falcon?
I have not seen that, so I don't know.
Just sworn you're a big fan of Peanut Butter Falcon.
I don't get the reference.
I don't either, Matt. I don't even know what he's talking about.
That Shia LaBeouf movie.
I don't watch Shia LaBeouf movies, so
yeah, he's like a bum or something.
Anyway,
yeah.
But anyways, I give the film an A minus. It would have been an A plus if it weren't from stealing from Star Wars. So,
I think you're the first person I've even read in any of the reviews I've read that even compared it to Star Wars.
Yep. Hey, he's not wrong. I mean, hey,
I'm not wrong. It's a fucking Star Wars climax. It is. No matter how hard people try to deny it, just because it's set in a modern military plane, you know. I see what they're doing. I mean, that's why it's number one in the box office. That's a Star Wars plot in it, you know. And guess Star Wars was number one for a while, so they steal from the best Star Wars film there is, and then boom, guess what's at number one now? Beating Infinity War, which I'm kind of salty about, by the way. At least Infinity War had some originality in it. Yeah, you know.
Doesn't matter.
And movie references.
Way of the Water is going to come out and probably be the first movie to ever make $1 billion domestically. There's a lot of people predicting that already, that it'll beat Force Awakens as the number one domestic movie. That's a lot, but apparently, as far as box office goes, the anticipation for Avatar is way higher than I think people expected to be. It seems like people are really, really, really pumped for this film because you have a whole. I mean, I didn't realize it was 2008, so you have a whole generation that's grown up and wanting to see the sequel. And apparently, the buzz is building extremely for Avatar 2, and it's expected to make a hell of a lot of fucking money. So we'll see. You know, never had a
Disney will be happy.
Never had a domestic film make $1 billion. Force Awakens fell about $43 million short, but we could have the first film to make $1 billion domestically with Avatar. We'll see. So.
We'll see, man.
Let me see.
Yeah, what else you got, Long?
I saw a wreck happen on my way home from work. It was on Winfern. It's a pickup truck went into the that street right near Gailey, right, Mark? Winfern. And you know that gas station that shares with Philippine Street?
Oh, yeah, the Chevron. Yeah.
The Chevron, yeah. The black pickup, I think it was a Dodge Ram, dually. He just, like, was impatient and went out of the right lane and into the left lane. And then some car was trying to get out of the gas station, didn't see the truck, and rear-ended, well, T-boned the truck. And then, yeah, I didn't have my dash cam, though. It was in my work van.
Damn.
Darn. How's that for download this, eh? Eh?
Download that. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, and then when Queen Elizabeth passed away, condolences to her. 96 years old, man. Sheesh. She's been alive since we've been alive.
She's old since I've been alive, too. That's what I thought about. I was like, I always remember her being old my whole life, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. Pay she's tribute to her.
Same age since 1990.
I pay tribute to her by sharing a video of her lookalike on Naked Gun. I just put remember that time when Queen Elizabeth came and visited us in 1988 and went to the Angels game? A couple of people didn't watch the damn clip, they just hit like, of course. I was like, okay, you guys didn't watch my clip, but whatever.
You're like, you didn't know, you don't know what I mean by that.
Our apologies to our five British listeners.
Royal Britannia, da 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 da.
Thorskin podcast.
All right, that's it for me.
All right. I actually watched this the week before last, but I never mentioned. I finally watched that Kurt Warner movie, Mark, and you were pretty much spot on. It's American Underdog's kind of a Hallmark film. You know, I do like that they pick, you know, Zach Levin kind of looks like Kurt Warner a little bit. And the person they chose,
Zachary Levi, just butcher the poor guy's fucking name. Zachary Levi.
Yeah. I'm just going to butcher his name. Shazak, you know,
yes. The only movie he'll ever be known for.
Yep.
Let's just be honest. He's kind of a one trick pony guy. He's going to be known for Shazam and that's it. It's like, you know,
yeah.
Well, he was on that spy show with Miranda Lawson.
What exactly?
Yeah, that one show. No, but he's all right in it. You know, it's like you said, it's a Hallmark-like movie. Do I think it's like a great inspirational sports movie? Yeah, no. You know, there's definitely better football movies out there. But, you know, I thought, you know, the wife didn't know about Kurt Warner and how he, became a Super Bowl champ after playing in arena football, and before that lost his job, playing for Green Bay, and, you know, his whole, you know, journey getting back into the NFL, you know, at the age of 28 and, winning a Super Bowl. I thought Dennis Quaid would have a bigger part in it since he plays Dick Vermeil, but he's kind of, you know, he does a little bit. It's like minimum effort. Like maybe they just didn't want to pay him or something. I don't know. But, it's an okay film. Maybe if it's free, watch it. I don't know if I'd pay for it because it's not that it's bad. It's just, you know, it's underwhelming. But okay, I guess. Watched the second episode of Rings of Power. I like it so far. I'm entertained. Is it accurate? I don't remember reading The Silmarillion. But this is before that, isn't it? This is before The Silmarillion.
Like I said, that's why I have no. I have no.
Silmarillion focuses on the first age. This one focuses on the second age.
Okay. I have no balls in the court, so for me, I'm just enjoying it for what it is.
Yeah.
No, I also balls. Like the fact that it's a show I can watch, and I can watch while the kids are awake. You know, so many of these fantasy shows and stuff are, you know, rated R, and, you know, it's like it's nice to be able to watch something that, you know, isn't all super violent. I mean, not that I mind that stuff, but, you know, it's like, it's good to be able to watch something during the daytime.
Yeah. I was lazy and didn't stream any of the new stuff that got released. Like the latest episode of She-Hulk. I didn't watch that. Cause I've been playing Destiny a little bit more. I haven't watched Thor yet. I'm going to. I played some Destiny, cause there's another extension to the campaign where you can, instead of using light powers, you use darkness powers. You kind of extend your capabilities within that. And, man, I beat this really hard level. And, my son was like very impressed, that I beat it. And he was like, "Oh, that's awesome, Dad." I was like, "Yep." I was like, "I can still game a little bit, at least with the shooters."
Thanks, Tiger.
Yeah, thanks, sport. But I did that, and then we rented Super Pets on Saturday. Well, bought it. I just went ahead and bought it. It was $20 to rent. It was $3 cinema day, but I was like, you know, if I go to the cinema, I got to, you know, order everybody. I was going to be by myself. I was going to have to order like everybody drinks and popcorn. I have popcorn and drinks at the house. So I'm like, I'm just going to spend $24 on the Super Pets movie.
Wyatt saw that on there. He goes, "Oh, Dad, look, Matt got Super Pets." I think he plans on me watching it tomorrow with him.
It's not bad. I like it. You know, of course, I like The Rock as a voice actor. I wish I would get a little bit more Keanu Reeves as Batman. But it's fun. It's a fun movie. Of course, you know, it's a kid movie, but, I like the Super Pets movie. It's entertaining. Definitely better than American Underdog. So go watch it if you haven't. I think if you got kids, it's one of those movies you can definitely sit in and still be entertained by. And even though you're like, oh, I got to put this kid movie on, it's still entertaining.
I like kid movies.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fun. And then I got Rise of Gru on Vudu, which we went to theaters to see that. But my youngest, he saw the Minions and was like, got all excited. So I just went ahead and bought that.
Man, you're so impulsive.
They just love, they love the Minions. But
it's going to be on Peacock like in 2 weeks, they announced, like September 26th or something.
I figured, because they have all the other Illumination Minion movies on there. The prequels and then Despicable Me 1, 2, and 3. I was like, you know, I'll just own it. Of course, it's still entertaining. You know, the Minions are quite the character. Other than that, I think that might be it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, let's get into the feature film then. It is Matt's birthday weekend, so he picked the movie this week, and I kind of got to laugh a little bit about this. It felt like when me and Long pick our birthday movies, me and Long are usually pretty sure and positive. We usually have two or three, and we say we're going to do this one. Long did not feel to you like we've been hearing about which movie Matt was going to pick since like fucking May. It's like he overthinks it so much. If any comes out of left field and picks one that I never thought in 5 years it would be on his radar. Because he looked for advice from the internet and his dad as to what movies to pick with cars, basically. Let's just call it how it is. But we love you, Matt. Yeah. And so Matt chose the Steve McQueen starring 1968, right? I think.
Yes, sir.
Movie called Bullet. I'm going to let Matt summarize this in just a moment since this is his birthday pick. But the most interesting – I've never seen this before until this week. And the most interesting thing I'll say that I found in researching this movie is like this was not a box office hit at all. In fact, it made hardly any money. But somehow it's become considered a cop classic. Matt, go ahead and summarize it for us.
Yeah, so Frank Bullitt, baby.
It's a very simple plot. I wonder how long you're going to go on
this. Yeah. So Frank Bullitt is commissioned by this politician played by Robert Vaughn to protect a mafia informant, basically mob boss informant, when all of a sudden that informant invites some people into his room, and he and Frank Bullitt's partner is shot, and he loses his witness, and you know his partner's in the hospital, and he goes on the chase to see what more is underneath, because he feels like there's more underneath to this, and that something smells, man, something just smells.
Well, he was an informant. Well, he was an informant by a mob boss so he feels that
bring down an organization.
The mob had him killed. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But you also have Robert Vaughn, who's pretty oily in this film, like an oily senator. You just get bad vibes from him all the way through. You're like, is he? You know, does he know something that's going on? Is he trying to discredit and get this investigation or this informant to not testify, even though he claims it's in his best interest with the joint task force they have going on. And then that leads to arguably, you know, one of the top five car chase scenes in the heart of this film. And then turns out there's this double cross, the switcheroo, this double. And, you know, we turn into this cat and mouse game, at the end of the film, getting the, actual, informant, to come to justice basically. Frank's form of justice, which, you know, Frank likes to skirt around his superiors and, yeah, and this awkward battle between his own, you know, self morality, his self sense, and, you know, trying to get promoted, stay promoted. He does things his own way. He's definitely a cool cop. It's the same, based off the same detective from, Dirty Harry. I like how McQueen does it. You know, he's got these subtle, facial expressions that just kind of propel you in the movie. And, he just depicts whole scenes just by his facial expressions. And it's like, he's hardly doing any acting. He's just kind of being himself. And, I think that's what's most impressive, but that's essentially it. You know, he's got to find the bad guys who killed his informant and, you know, uncovers, you know, his girlfriend's, you know, attached to the double, that was the guy who got shot and she's killed. And, there's a lot of, cool detective stuff goes on in this film that we can talk about, but, man, you know, I you mentioned, you know, this film came out of left field. It really did. You know, it's a film that I was far down on my radar. You know, my grandpa was a big Ford fan. He owned nothing but Fords. And, you know, I asked my uncle, I was like, hey, you know, what do you think about Bullitt? My uncle Ted, you know, I'm Henry, you know, I'm, Mark, but, you know, he has my dad's 68 Mustang. He bought it from my dad and my grandpa dropped a 302 in it. So we had to talk about Mustangs, somehow.
So what did your uncle say about it?
Oh, he said this is an awesome film that if he had one ticket, oh, he could see a car movie. Yeah. It would be Bullitt, baby. Dang. It'd be Bullitt.
You just went off a tangent when you were about to say your uncle.
Jesus. I did, man. So.
Okay. All right, I'm not going to trash this film because it's not a film to trash, but I don't like it that much. I wouldn't even put the car chase in. Car chase might be top five before 1980, but since 1980, I can think of a lot of other car chases that are better than this one. For the time it came out, I'll give it credit for what it did in 1968 with stunt work and all that. And it is solid. It's a good car chase, but I don't know if I'd say top five. Robert Vaughn's very interesting casting in this movie. In fact, he didn't want to do it at first, and then they paid him a bunch of money to do it because this is a guy, Robert Vaughn, if you don't know, is a guy who's basically a character actor that will do almost, well, did because he has passed away a few years ago, but he would do anything for money. I mean, you look at his IMDb page, it's a mess of just crap after crap after crap. This guy was basically, hand me some money and I'll be in your fucking film. And he was always known as this terrible C-list fucking actor. I mean, that's just Robert Vaughn. Let's just be honest. But he made a career off of it. He made a career off of it, and he did just enough serious movies like this and The Towering Inferno and a couple others to give himself a little credit. But it's so bizarre. But he's basically known for doing crap-ass fucking films. But he's actually good in this movie, you know, and he plays well off of Steve McQueen's character. You're right about the awkward morality play they go through with Frank Bullitt's character. It's a little distracting to the plot, and it's like it almost doesn't need to be there, you know. Because it doesn't do anything to move the story forward, you know. At the end of the day, after he kills the guy at the end, he goes back home. He's still with Kathy. That's it. So it does nothing to move his story forward as far as morality play goes. But Steve is great in the film. He makes this movie work. He, like you said, he's kind of one of those actors that just plays the part by being himself and gives a little machismo to the role, so to speak, and he pulls it off well. I found the movie to be a little slow, but it is 1968. Things were a little different back then. That's where the problem with it lied to me. It was slow to the point where I almost lost interest a couple of times watching it. But then it would pick back up at just the right times. It is a very simple plot. I was trying to find like why this movie has become such a cult hit because it didn't do well at the box office. It wasn't one of Steve's bigger hits. But somehow it found an audience. I guess this is a movie that being 1968, must have found an audience when video hit, possibly after McQueen's death, maybe it rose to fame. Because it is a well-known car detective film, and I was kind of hyped a bit for it because I had heard a lot about it, and it was like, man, why is this movie so popular, so well known? And then when I watched it, my thoughts this week were like, oh, that's it? You know, like I was thinking it was going to be a little more, maybe explosive is the word, you know, than it was. But essentially it's just a long, let's talk about what we're going to do next cop film with a little action scene in the middle, a little action scene at the end. And I guess I was underwhelmed. But I didn't hate the movie. I did. It was a good film. It's a good movie. It's well acted, well plotted, other than the awkward, like I said, morality play with him. You're definitely right. All the detective cliches and all that's definitely in this movie. But it's an okay movie. I don't think it's hard to say it's a great movie, but it's, I guess because of modern times and we've had so many movies like this, like if I had seen this 40 years ago, I would have probably like thought more of it. Does that make sense? But we've had so many films now, like Heat and all these other Lethal Weapons and these other cop films we've had since, that makes this feel kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes sense.
But I can still appreciate it for what it did in its time and when it came out. I definitely see the influence.
This is the first film where they said, hey, instead of a musical composure over the car chase scene, we're just going to have the motor blaring. And we're going to have the sound of the motor playing.
Yeah, I did like that. I thought that that was cool. I did like the fact that you could hear the cars crunching and making noises. That was cool.
And you could argue that echoes through the Bourne Identity. I mean, Star Wars Phantom Menace with the pod racer. I mean, you could argue that something like that has.
Yeah, but the difference is George uses music and all kinds of sounds going on in every scene he films. George is a big sound, big sound guy. I think it echoes more Michael Mann's films, maybe even Peter Berg's films, you know, where they let the action scenes play out and in almost real time, you know. I definitely can see how Berg and Mann and those directors were definitely influenced by I can't think of the director's name, but the film and yeah.
There's definitely a fine line between mimicry and inspiration, and I think that last scene is shot for shot in Heat. I mean, it's like I showed you pictures earlier. It's like that stuff is side by side almost.
I mean, but Michael Mann is obviously influenced by the 60s and 70s action and Western directors. I mean, Mann has talked about it before. You know, I know he was a big Eastwood fan. He's definitely influenced by those guys. You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, I mean, look at the shootout and Heat and the bank robbery. There's no music. It's all just guns and blazing and sirens, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
Long, your thoughts, man, on Bullet?
I liked it. It's a very quiet movie for sure. The plot is very simple, but that's what I like about some of these older films. They're very straightforward. They don't try to BS you or try to pull a wool over your eyes. And it's like, hey, first act is this is the plot. And then it gets going after shit hits the fan. It's more violent than I expected. Because after the chase scene, you see the two bodies burning right there. It's like, oh, okay.
Faces are melting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny. You notice it has a PG rating on it. But like on Amazon Prime, it has an added rating to it saying TVMA, letting you know that, you know, it's still kind of for mature audiences despite when it came out.
Yeah. 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 I mean, 1968 was what, the first or second year of the movie board ratings existence. Yeah. So, I'm sure there's like some.
62. I want to say it was 61, 62 when the ratings first came out. That so, early. It's still only a few years in. Yeah.
Yeah. MPAA, I know it was in the late 60s because that's when titties started popping up on film.
It's all about the titties.
Yeah. Cough. The car chase scene was definitely the highlight for me. I quite enjoyed it. And I can see, like, people were saying that car chase films before Bullet was filmed from the street, where you would see the car pass by the camera and you'll probably follow along the car. But it's the first car chase film where you're actually inside the car and then actually seeing what the driver is chasing, you know. So it felt more dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And that's, well, you're that, correct. That was, that's the cool part about this film is that, you know, McQueen kind of worked with the director and, you know, he wanted a bigger sense of realism, you know, that the Challenger loses a hubcap. That wasn't supposed to happen, but they kept it in the movie to make it, you know, look a little bit more authentic.
There's a video game called Driver that I used to play all the time on the PlayStation, and it was set in San Francisco. So it definitely, when you went over those hills and bumps and then you do the replay of the jumps and stuff, you can see hubcaps falling off of the car in the video game. So yeah, 1966 was when it was, let's see here.
68 was first year ratings.
Yeah, there you go.
They came up with the idea in 66. They started using it in 68. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that was one of the first movies. Oh, that's definitely a hard PG. Anyhow, I enjoyed it. Kind of got a little confusing towards the end. Like, what? Double cross? Huh?
You know? Yeah, it kind of happens quick whenever they find out, you know, because they're looking at the paper and, you know, the guy that, you know, his, that Frank's girlfriend's, LinkedIn, what's his name? I had it written down. Albert Reddick. Albert Reddick. He looks like Ross, the informant. And so they put two and two together and they're like, well, he's probably going to leave, probably going to fly away. So they, you know, get up to the airport. And, you could tell he's emotionally detached, which is another cop cliche. And, I think the girlfriend only existed for this double cross thing and to point out that, you know, he's a stoic. He's a stoic cop, you know. And I think McQueen plays a really good stoic cop, like probably the ultimate stoic cop, because he has those facial expressions in the you know, scenes throughout the movie that just kind of, you know, you could say he's the engine in which propels, you know, this movie from plot to plot, with those expressions. To put a little play on words.
Well, he's a good actor. I mean, like I don't know if you guys ever see The Great Escape, which is a really good war movie. And, you know, he's a minor character in it, but the scenes he's in The Great Escape, he steals. I mean, well, I wouldn't say he's a minor character. It's funny because he's given first billing in that movie, but yet there's a lot of other actors in that movie and he's really good in it. He just has a brief appearance in The Magnificent Seven, the original. You know, he's in that. But he definitely has a screen charisma about him, for sure.
Oh, The Great Escape's a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Same stunt driver, too.
Yeah.
Same stunt driver in this film and The Great Escape. And this film has the same composer as the original Impossible film.
I didn't know that. Yeah, no, McQueen was only 50 years old when he died.
Yeah, went to Mexico for experimental cancer surgery and died in the process.
Yeah. He was in the Tower Inferno with Robert Vaughn also. I wish I should have known that. The Getaway is another one of his favorite famous movies, which has been remade, I think, The Getaway. Of course, everybody knows he was the original Thomas Crown. Yeah, he had quite a good career.
Studied under Bruce Lee.
Huh?
Jeet Kune Do. He studied under Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Before Bruce became famous.
He was in the original Blob.
Oh, the original Blob?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
I like the original Blob. It's a good old-fashioned sci-fi movie.
I think one of the things that's kept this movie talked about is the fact that Ford, every like 12 years or so, they come out with another, Bullet Mustang edition. And, I'm pretty sure that, gets people, where's that from? What movie is that from? And, they still have those iconic rims, but not the same motor, of course. This was the 390 V8, not the 302 or the 428, but it was a special engine that was actually manufactured not long before this film came out. And man, does it roar!
Well, really. That and the fact that cars nowadays aren't four gears.
Yeah, we got five and six, and
three gears, whatever the '60s tech was back then.
And the gear is synchronized; they automatically synchronize. So
my Volkswagen has more horsepower than that Mustang.
No. But definitely better power to rate ratio, at least stock. You probably have to adjust that four barrel carburetor a little bit more. So you can.
The movie show, Matt, not a car show.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I'm a gearhead. That's why I picked this film. At least I picked this instead of Fast and the Furious, huh, Mark?
Well, I wouldn't have let you pick that. So. They're CGI cars.
I don't think any of your vetoes have worked in the past, Mark. I don't recall any time.
He just waves it out there.
My vetoes have worked.
He waves the veto out there just to wave it. But Bullet, man, Bullet. It's a lean and mean detective thriller with a presence on film, Steve McQueen, that makes this film, and really. Has a good place in cinema history because of, all the elements that you can, that it brought, new elements like the ditching the composition over the car chase, bringing in doctors, and detectives to help, guide the hospital scene, to help guide the detective work scene where, it's funny, another cop cliche, cops kind of do dumb stuff in movies. And they're touching everything, and then McQueen calls for the forensic team to dust for prints. And he's like, "You just touched everything. Hands just touched everything. What's the point?" But
we're not wearing gloves.
Not wearing gloves either. So there's definitely a lot of that, and it was fun to watch this film. You're right, Long. Some of these films, even though they're, the older films are slower and they might not be as flashy. They're not, Mission Impossible Fallout. But, sometimes simple's nice and it's nice to see where some of these things originated from. And it's always fun to watch a legend, Steve McQueen, in this, especially in this film.
Cool. The classic.
Yep. Got this internal yawn. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Mark disappeared.
Yeah, he disappeared. So we're going to hold off for him.
Can you tell I was switching between tabs here on the internet?
Not really. Not really. Not until the end when you're like, "Oh, Mark's not there." I'm like, "Oh, he's switching. He's a switcher."
Mark is so gay, dude. He's so gay. No. I heard he subscribed to Playgirl magazine. Oh, hey, Mark.
What?
We're waiting for you to that just we'll give your final thoughts on the film. Just say something like, yeah, and then give your piece, and then say, I give it a this, and then we'll go.
I got it, Matt.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's an okay. I mean, I would say it's better than okay. Like I said, it goes back to me having, if I had seen this years ago, I probably would have liked it better. I just feel like watching it after seeing so many other cop films over the years, it feels like, okay, you know, but I appreciate it for what it did at its time. You know, Steve McQueen's very good in the movie. It's a very simple plot, decent car chase in it. Well, okay, more than decent. I mean, I'd be a little unfair to the car chase, but I just don't know if I could put it. I mean, it's hard to like look at this car chase and see a movie like Mad Max Fury Road, which has 20 car chases in it that are all cooler than this one. You know, so it's just like I can't help but compare it to other films. And like this is, I guess, it, for you gearheads, as you call yourself, maybe y'all appreciate the car chase more. To me, it's like, ah, it's all right. You know, I mean, it's cool, I guess, you know. But you know, I think the movie's pretty decent. I mean, I'm not going to be too harsh on it. I'll still give it a pretty solid A-. I think it's a solid detective film.
I give it a B.
Yeah.
Or Bullet.
A B for Bullet.
Wow.
Nice.
That was lame.
The score writes itself.
It is your destiny long to make lame puns.
It's an A- for me, too. I don't know if I can give it an A. For the, you know, it's an older film, you know, like everything that comes with that, but still a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Like, you know, when we do older films like what was the Forbidden Planet? For some reason, with older science fiction films, I can get into them more because I can really like buy into the imagination of it. I love that kind of stuff and the way they made those things. So it's harder to buy into the imagination of a cop film, if that makes sense, you know, because like the plot is so simple. We've seen it 100 times in a Law and Order episode or whatever, you know. But I can still appreciate for what it was doing in 1968. And that was making a good, entertaining film with a very good lead actor and a lot of good character actors around him. I feel like Steve McQueen is definitely a guy that I could watch more of his movies, and I've always been curious about his career. I've seen The Great Escape and It's Magnificent Seven and now this and a couple other things. And but he feels like a guy that I definitely would have liked as an actor if I had been, you know, been alive when his career was first starting out. It just seems like a guy that you can get behind. And it seems like his career was cut a little too short with his untimely death, but you know, that happens. But he made some good movies. So good stuff. And I'm still glad that we didn't do a Fast and Furious movie. So, or another bad Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
I forgot that you had Demolition Man on the docket too. It's like, damn it, he should have went with Demolition Man.
I thought about it, man. I was, man.
You overthought it. You overthought it, Matt.
I was going to say, he's been thinking about this shit since May. It's like, dude. It's
yep.
I mean, like, I literally thought about my birthday movie maybe 3 weeks before, and I had it down to about 3 of them, and I just picked the one I picked, and that was it. And I'm sure I'll do the same thing next year. It'll be, okay, this is what we're going to do. Yeah, so. And
all anyway, good.
No more birthday picks till
June. I enjoyed it, Matt. Thanks for picking it.
No problem.
I wouldn't have watched the movie otherwise.
I did enjoy watching it way more than watching Roadhouse or Austin Powers, that's for sure. So I will give it that. Out of your birthday picks, this is probably the best one you picked. So
there we go.
But now we get to have a little fun with Matt celebrating his birthday. Kind of do a little something similar like we did with me, a little bit, talk a little good, a little bad, and have a little fun. I didn't really necessarily make like a long list or anything, but I'm gonna let Long go first, actually, I think. And
what? There was a list?
Well, not really. No, you don't have to have a list. It's just, you know, we're kind of roasting Matt a little bit like we did for my birthday. We can say some nice things about him and we can pick on him a little bit. You know, it doesn't have to be hard.
I didn't write any. I didn't prepare anything. Oh, okay.
You know, it can be off the top of your head. It doesn't have to be perfect. I jotted
that one time. That one time after Comic Palooza, I was grateful for Matt for driving me, chauffeuring me to Comic Palooza. Thanks, Matt. And then when we came back home from Comic Palooza, Yeah, that weird, strange rainstorm that went through while we were trying to pump up the air in my vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
That was a funny moment where I was like saying, what was it? I was saying how, oh, God, please don't rain. And then it rains. And then I kind of cursed and then it stopped raining. I'm like, oh, okay. I was being blasphemous, but
that was
weird.
That was like we went through that string of like three straight years, Compalooza weekend. We had those weird torrential downpours on Sundays at Compalooza, like 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Like this last year and this year were the first 2 years in a while there was no torrential rain. But yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. And then recently, my roommate Matt and Jackie, we had some Korean barbecue. That was fun. A few months ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was fun. Glad you made it out there. Despite going to a party earlier that day, you were still hungry enough to eat dinner with us.
Oh, heck so, yeah.
Matt, I always had appreciate your constant stream of thought and droning on and on and on. It helps me fall asleep.
Oh, damn. There we go.
Backhanded yeah. compliment for you. And of course, I do appreciate the one time where you kind of confided or admitted to me when we were walking along Artist Alley in Comic Palooza way back in 2014, I believe, 6 or 7 years ago. We were walking down Artist Alley, and then you all of a sudden said, "Long, let's walk this other direction." And I'm like, "Huh? Why?" Well, it's because this one guy I didn't get along with. I think I pissed him off or whatever. So let's just avoid seeing that artist or whoever it was. And I'm like, "Yeah, okay." And I asked, "What's the story behind that? Why'd you piss him off?" I think he took things the wrong way, the way I said things to him. It's like, "Oh, okay." I forgot what the context. Yeah, I think it was in that context, right, Matt?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a long story, but basically. Basically it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about.
Yep.
For some reason, that's the one of the few Comic Palooza moments I remember with you, Matt. We're just randomly walking down Artist Alley. You told me, okay, turn left, Locks. Like, why?
I don't want to get my ass beat.
Kind of want to avoid a confrontation. Like, oh, okay.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's what I got off the top of my head, Mark. So yeah,
that's fine. I'm gonna be nice at first, and I can just say that Matt is are one to never bat a shoulder at wanting to help someone. You've been extremely helpful to me over the years, as you know, and you're always quick to lend a hand and to lend advice or mechanics if it would be to help with tools and things like that, I think picked up one of the kids for me before, and you know, so you're always very helpful, and you don't even you do it without any. You never ask for anything in return. You do it selflessly. And that's a very rare quality for you people to have. I know I'm not always good at that, you know, and you're great about that. And I can't thank you enough for being that way, the way you are, because, you've helped me tremendously over the years. And you're also you're a good role model to your kids and to my kids. And that says a lot. And you're a good, you're a pretty good friend most of the time. A good friend. But I think back, and it all comes back to this little bitch of a kid who was working under me in the dairy department at Kruger.
Excuse me, sir.
and was just licking. Dude, Longest Dude was licking my asshole every chance he got. What do you need, Mark? What do you need, Mark? What do you need, Mark? He would do every goddamn thing I asked him to do. That to this day is still the biggest ass kiss in the world. I bet his mother would agree with us. Kiss everyone's ass to get along with him. And that's okay, because that's just how Matt is. Because Matt is a people pleaser, and there's nothing wrong with that. He doesn't know how to say no. So being as kind and as generous and selfless as he is also comes with a fault. And sometimes, Matt, it's okay to say no. But he still won't say no, because that's just how Matt is. You know, he's gonna kiss that booty no matter what. And that's okay. And that's how we met, man. He worked under me, and I knew his granddad, and we just hit it off and became friends, and here we are, you know, almost shit, man. It's got to be close to 20 years, you know, by now.
Do you remember any kind of moment that sticks out to you that like, okay, that there's a Matt's sensibilities in yours, or it's like, okay, Matt's pretty young, so I can see why he said this weird thing. Was there like a moment that made you notice a generational difference moment that you might recall? Like any early memories of, okay, he needs to learn this.
Maybe training maybe him movies. In the ways of good movies and music. Yeah, for sure. You know?
Yeah.
Because I know there's been many movies I've turned him on to, and probably different bands and stuff like that. I'm sure has happened. Television shows. So yeah, there's that generational gap, you know, because just getting him to know stuff that he might have missed in his generation.
So in regards to music, if I'm kind of imagining young Matt is like humming a tune, and you walk past him, and Matt's singing bop.
Hanson.
And then Mark's like, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you singing?
Whoa.
Mbop.
Yeah, no, we don't do that shit here, dude. Here's some fucking.
No. Here's some Enter Sandman for you, buddy.
Well, I mean, probably not Metallica. This is early 2000s when I met him. It probably had been like, here's some fucking Deftones or something, man. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Listen to some real shit.
Yeah.
You were surprised that I knew Taproot.
Yeah. And then also, Matt, I hope one day you're going to grow up and be a man, learn how to handle your liquor. I mean, I don't know how many times we have had Matt laying on the couch, passed out after just two or three beers. I have a picture somewhere with some whipped cream on his head after he passed out, which Frank may have had a part in, and he may have not have gotten teabagged that night. You'll never know. and you know, even to this day, man, I mean, Long, you've witnessed it. The motherfucker drinks one shot, one beer, and he's like, hey, what's up, fellas? One day, Matt, you'll grow some hair on those fucking pubes and be able to handle your liquor. Yeah, and we can only hope. And Matt, let's just be honest. If there was one celebrity that you would suck their dick, it would be Arnold Schwarzenegger. I appreciate your love for Arnold, but and your voice over Arnold is extraordinarily funny, and it makes me laugh a lot. But I'm never going to understand it. It's like, you know, why Arnold? Like, I mean, I'm just going to be honest here. Like, I love the Terminator. Don't get me wrong, but Arnold's. Just he's not that good of an actor. He's okay, you know. But and he made some really bad films. But you know, it's all right. I guess I've never been that attached to one actor to get that kind of hard on for him like you do. But you know, it's cool. Even if I don't understand it, you know. So
I watched him when I was a kid, and I said, you know what? That's what a man should be—being able to carry a log up a mountain,
a fake log. But
a fake one.
But in all seriousness, though, I hope one day, man, that you know maybe you get to meet him. Yeah, I think that would be cool because I know you'd enjoy it. You know, he doesn't do a lot of cons, but now he's getting older. Maybe he'll start doing something. You know, he did that one in San Antonio a couple years ago.
Yeah, man,
he ain't doing shit else. He's making bad B movies and crap. He's not really doing anything. So you know,
and
go hit the con circuit, Arnold. Go make some extra cash flow.
I mean, I have to keep $1,200 on the side in case he does that package again.
Fuck, man, I cannot pay that for an autograph. I mean,
well, it was I'd love to be more. It was all three. You got the autograph, the meet and greet and the photo op.
I mean,
but still,
I'd love to get Mark Hamill's autograph one day, but even if Mark Hamill ever came through, I don't think I could pay more than $200. That'd have to be my limit. Just to have him sign something. I'm like, yeah. But other than that, man, but just Matt, just keep being you, man. Don't change, man, because, you know, you are, we never know what we're going to get from you, Matt. you're random, you're funny, but you're genuine too, man. You people know where they stand with you, and that's okay. You're a good dude. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah. And then we did a trash.
You know, Matt. You know, on your day of your birthday, I also share an unbirthday on that same day.
All right, here it is. What's the unbirthday?
I don't know what an unbirthday is.
I don't even know what an unbirthday is.
Everyone has 364 unbirthdays a year.
Ah, is this a dad joke?
No, it's a Alice in Wonderland reference.
Oh. It's an unbirthday. Every other day is an unbirthday. It's not your birthday.
Every day except for your birthday is an unbirthday. So.
Nice.
Well, Matt, for people who don't know, we're recording on Friday night, September 9th, Matt's birthday. It's the 11th, which is, of course, 9/11. Very
sad. Bummer of a day.
And Matt said Matt told me the story that people, that his family kind of forgot his birthday that day. I think Matt told me a story where his mom turned around and was like, "Oh shit, it's your birthday today," and it's it's kind of understandably so. I mean, that was quite a day for everybody.
Worst parents ever
across not just the United States, across the world that day. You know, it was understandable. And of course, on Sunday there will be a lot of tributes and celebrations, as there always has been the last 21 years since that happened. So,
4,000 people dying on the day of my birthday.
Yeah, definitely.
That's no excuse to not remember mine. No, oh,
damn it. Yeah. So, but again, happy birthday. So let's do a little bit of news before we get out of here. Oh, I'm kind of upset by this. They announced at D23 today, Amon Asfante is going to play a live action Ezra. Man, and, you know. We knew it was coming, but I feel like if you watch the end of Rebels and Star Wars Rebels, and you know, Ezra went off into the into the future or jumped through time or whatever it was he did to go after Grand Admiral Thrawn, and you didn't know what happened to him. And we knew he was going to come back, but I wish they would have kept this a secret. I think it would have been so much better to have Ezra show up at Ahsoka and be like, "Holy shit, there he is." Disney's been doing this shit for years. Like, we didn't need Spider-Man the Civil War trailer. Let us go see the movie and be surprised by Spider-Man. Let us watch Ahsoka and be surprised that Ezra shows up. So a little disappointed that they announced the casting, because I was really, you know, I wanted to know, you know, I just feel like everything is so spoiled now with the internet and everything. It's like, can't we enjoy some things without being spoiled? You know, they could have cast Ezra and not announced it, but they did. So, like I said, we knew it was coming, but it just felt like it would have been better to be surprised after the conclusion of Rebels to see where Ezra is years later. We got some trailers this week. We got a trailer for Picard Season 3. It's going to hit in February. It looks like it'll bring back a bunch of the old Next Generation cast for one last ride for that crew. So if you're interested, Picard Season 3 in October or in February. We got a trailer this week for Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. And, man, I really like this trailer a lot. I'm excited to see this. I really enjoy Knives Out. And it looks like it's going to be a hell of a fun movie. It's going to hit December 23rd on Netflix, just in time for Christmas. You can go see it in theaters, too, if you want. But I think I will watch Knives Out, too, in the comfort of my home. Looks good, man. I really enjoyed the first one. That was one of those surprise movies that kind of came out of nowhere and through word of mouth. A lot of people watched it and really enjoyed it. And Rian Johnson coming back to direct Daniel Craig as the detective with a new murder mystery. You guys saw the first one, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one. I like Daniel Craig in that movie.
Yeah. It was funny. I was reading. He had forgotten how to do the accent. So he had to basically call Rian Johnson up and was like, I need some help. And so they sent the dialect coach over to work with him a few weeks before they started filming, because he just forgot how to do the Southern drawl. And it's been a couple of years since the last one. So, you know, it's kind of cool. Got a new trailer this week for Black Adam. I actually like this trailer a lot better than the first one. I think the movie looks pretty cool. Is this fun? Is this sad? I'm kind of more excited to see a live action Hawkman and Dr. Fate than I am Black Adam. It's just like, wow, it's so cool to see these characters on the big screen. You know, especially Pierce Brosnan's Dr. Fate looks pretty cool.
Definitely.
But October 21st, I believe it comes out. DC as in Warner Discovery has not announced they're pushing that one back. And I imagine with the new trailer, they're not planning on pushing it back. I mean, it makes sense. Get that movie out there a few weeks for Black Panther. Go make that movie theater money with Black Adam come out in October. And just another – this is not really news, but kind of a note. Batman the Animated Series turned 30 years old this week. Arguably the greatest animated series ever made. Definitely the best incarnation of Batman ever made. Show has a ton of fans. It still holds up really well. I honestly, this is something I all the time put on in the background, because I have the Blu-rays, which came with the digital copies. If there's nothing else on to watch, I will put on Vudu and put on a couple episodes of Batman the Animated Series. It's along with Batman 89, the animated series is also what made me such a huge Batman fan, and be remiss not to, to just announce that it's 30 years old and still better than a lot of the crap we get on TV nowadays, even for cartoons. Just a great, great series. A lot of great episodes, a lot of great characters. You could go through all 100 and something episodes of that show. You'd be hard to find one or two bad episodes. That's just how good it was. Consistently good over its 5 or 6 year run that it ran on television. And just the you know, great, great stuff. But yeah, I know you guys have seen the show and parts of it and episodes. And
yeah.
It would come on like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So this is back in the days of VCRs. I wasn't home from school yet. I would set my VCR and record Batman the Animated Series every day and come home and watch it on VCR just because I didn't want to miss it. It was just such a good show.
Yes, it was.
And all right. Well, that's all the news. Next week, man, a movie that, it's amazing we haven't done this movie yet. We've actually written it down our list a couple of times over probably the last 3 years, and we scratch it off, we push it back, and it's just kind of because it's a – not that we don't want to do it. It's just a movie that is very popular, has been talked about a lot on lots of different shows over the years. And, you know, film schools study this movie, and it's like it's one of those movies you just feel you want to do it justice when you do talk about it. And that is Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction.
Miramax Films is proud to present one of the most celebrated motion pictures of the year. The winner of the 1994 Palme d'Or. The best picture of the Cannes Film Festival.
Come on, let's get in character.
Why are you so interested in big man's wife?
Well, he's going out of town, Florida, and he asked me if I take care of her while he's gone.
Take care?
No, man. Just show her a good time, make sure she don't get lonely.
Girl, you see, this is a moral test of oneself.
I do believe Marcellus, my husband, your boss, told you to take me out and do whatever I wanted. I love you so
much, can't count on. Whether or not you can maintain loyalty.
Night of the fight, you may feel a slight sting. Pride only hurts, it never helps. In the fifth, your ass goes down.
I have to say, play with matches, you get burned.
We should have shotguns with this kind of deal.
We're in a lot of danger, aren't we?
I'm prepared to scour the earth for that moment.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
Get down, get down.
You got a corpse in a car, minus a head in a garage. Take me to it.
Don't you hate that?
Hate what?
Uncomfortable silences.
John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman, Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, Amanda Plummer, Maria de Medeiros, Bing Rhames, Eric Stoltz, Rosanna Arquette, Christopher Walken, and Bruce Willis.
Looking at something, Frank?
Ain't my friend, Luca.
Die, you mother!
A new film directed by Quentin Tarantino. Pulp Fiction.
You really thinking about quitting?
Most definitely.
What's she gonna do then?
Basically, I'm just gonna walk the earth.
What you mean, walk the earth?
You know, like Kane in Kung Fu.
A movie that, you know, the first time I saw Pulp Fiction, I'll be honest, I didn't like it a whole lot. I don't know if I disliked it. I didn't know what to make of it. It's a deep movie. It's a lot to take in. It's not told linear. There's a lot going on in it. When you initially see this, you walked out of the theater, you're like, okay, wait, what did I just watch? And it's a movie that you definitely appreciate more and more upon more viewings, and you see the genius. It's not my favorite Tarantino movie, but it's still a good film. And so we'll talk Pulp Fiction next week's show. Matt, man, if you watched Pulp Fiction when it first came out, you would have been probably scarred, because it was pretty old up there for it being, if you would have been about 5 or 6 years old when this came out.
Yeah. You know?
So, and yeah, I don't think you need to see things like the Gimp and other things that were in this film. I mean, this Pulp Fiction might be one of the first movies that, and we'll talk about it more next week, but might be one of the first movies that I was maybe 15, 16 when it came out, I guess. And it was one of the first movies that really shocked me. Like, and I had seen stuff like RoboCop with like hands getting blown off, and that didn't shock me. But there's things in Pulp Fiction I'm like we all know what I'm talking about, the butt sex scene. I'm like, holy, did I just see that? Like, that really shocked me at that age. Nowadays, that's no big deal, you know, because everything's on film. But in 1994, that was a big deal, you know? I was like, wow, they showed that?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we'll talk about it next week on the show. The RubberRadioPodcast.com for all your rubber radio needs, as always. Again, a big happy birthday to Matt, who finally got out of the diapers and into the underwear, and turning 12 years old. And continue to be safe out there, all as always. And thanks for listening to us. We do appreciate it. And until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long.
Remember, as always, just go there and do it.